Every Zambian who strives to keep growing. Zambic Bank. Let's keep growing. This time check is brought to you by Zambic Bank.
The time on Phoenix FM is 8 hours. Up next, the main news.
This time check was brought to you by Zambic Bank.
Phoenix FM.
Check. There we go.
106.7. Bonze.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
Win number money 1 million na Absa. Play your cards right, Muntu Andy, and you could win big. Simply tap or swipe any of your Absa cards 5 times in a month, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to take home and achieve 10 fin in monthly prizes or walk away with a grand prize of 250,000 kwacha. Chaliro ku, and you cannot afford to not get lucky. Use your Absa card to enter the draw. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters. Absa.
Good morning. The headlines. Government to release Sinometals dam disaster investigation report today. Veteran politician urges Zambia to stand firm against international pressure following U.S. entry restrictions. And in global news, Australian Prime Minister announces crackdown on hate speech after Bondi shooting. With the 8 hours main news bulletin on Phoenix, I am Paddy Mugando. Government is today expected to release the final detailed report of an investigation into the Kafue River pollution by Sinometals Leach Zambia. The report, an environmental and socio-economic impact assessment, was conducted by an independent consultant, Applied Science and Technology Associates, following the tailings dam failure in February 2025, which released acidic waste into the Kafue River ecosystem. We have details in this report.
10 months after a catastrophic breach of the tailings dam at Sinometals on the Copper Belt resulted in the discharge of millions of liters of effluent of heavy metals dissolved in highly concentrated sulfuric acid, the nation is still looking for answers as victims continue to pray for justice and accountability. Today, December 18, 2025, the government is expected to release the final detailed report of an investigation of the accident that occurred on February 2025 at Sinometals that left residents on the Copper Belt and Central Provinces without safe drinking water for days, while aquatic life of the Kafue River and its tributaries was all but shattered. As the government's push to mine 3 million metric tons of copper by 2030 gains momentum, who is going to bear the huge consequences of this ambition on the environment and health of people living near mining areas like on the Copper Belt? Social anthropologist Dr. James Msonda says with the unregulated mushrooming Chinese-supported smelters and tailing dams on the Copper Belt, the worst pollution incident is yet to come.
When there's a stage in production, pollution also increases. Historically, that's what it is. On the Copper Belt today, illegal smelters and processing operations are destroying livelihoods. I have not seen commitment from government to deal with this kind of issues. The government is seemingly concentrated on ensuring that growth in production happens at all costs.
And senior lecturer in the School of Mines at the Copper Belt University, Professor Peter Chileshe, says the pollution at Sinometals was a tip on the iceberg about the rampant pollution on the Copper Belt.
Not everything has been done yet. We need to do more. In other words, from conferences, what plans of physical action do we have? And I think for this, we need to work together with government and working together with the Ministry of Mines, plus the academic community and all these other organizations, that there is awareness that this is a national problem and we need to do something about it.
Meanwhile, Green Party President Peter Sinkamba says there is need to ensure all effluent from the collapsed tailings dams are neutralized so as not to cause further damage to biodiversity in the streams and Kafue River.
We are looking forward to ensure that all measures are in place to avoid future breaches like that, and also to ensure that all materials that escaped from the tailings dam that breached have been neutralized.
Was the pollution at Tino Metals a rare case of negligence or engineering failure, or indeed symptomatic of the widespread challenges that is coming with the push for increased mining production to meet growing global demand for critical minerals? For now, the nation awaits the final report of experts to answer some of these critical questions and others. For Phoenix News, Patricia Mbewe, reporting.
Veteran politician Dr. Akashamba Twambikusi Talewanika says Zambia must create clear boundaries and resist neo-colonial influence to protect its interests and remain accountable to its citizens. Dr. Lewanika has urged a firm national posture, defending sovereign control over resources and insisting on reciprocal relations with foreign partners following Zambia's inclusion in the U.S. entry restrictions. He warns that foreign interest in Zambia's minerals and unexplained security relationships risk leaving the country vulnerable if reciprocal terms are not enforced, calling for transparent and reciprocal visa and diplomatic policies. The U.S. has imposed partial visa limitations on Zambia, citing deficiencies in screening, vetting, and information sharing, effective 1st January 2026. Dr. Lewanika attributes the U.S. move to insufficient public discussion of recent security and diplomatic ties and unknown motives behind the U.S. push to benefit from Zambia's mineral wealth.
If we listen carefully to the speech by the Undersecretary of State who visited us, the message was quite clear. They are up to our mineral resources, and they don't want us to block them in any way. They want us to create an environment in which they can come in and out, grab whatever they grab without hindrance. And yet we have a government that thinks these are our best friends. We have unexplained military relationship with America, which have not been openly revealed.
The Teaching Service Commission has disclosed that it is set to begin the long-awaited recruitment of teachers next week. Commission Chairperson Daphne Chimuka has announced that the Commission will meet with the Ministry of Education next week to start the process. Ms. Chimuka says the meeting will focus on promotions and upgrades for teachers, including those who have been acting in positions for an extended period and others who have upgraded their qualifications for them to be given their rightful positions. Ms. Chimuka explained that the sitting was initially delayed due to ongoing salary negotiations between the Ministry of Education and teachers' unions.
What we normally do is we would promote those who have been acting in those positions, those who need to be upgraded because they have upgraded their qualifications. So once we have done that, then we release the entry positions, the G and I, for us then to recruit. We are sitting next week. We should have sat this week, but the Minister of Education, who we sit with, they are in salary negotiations. So I'm sure by next week we will start the sittings.
The Non-Governmental Gender Organizations Coordinating Council, NGOCC, is concerned with the persistently low representation of women in the National Assembly, citing the adoption of all male candidates in the Chawama parliamentary by-elections as a setback. NGOCC Executive Director Anne Anamela says the situation is deeply concerning and is calling for political parties to promote women's participation in politics. Speaking to Phoenix News in an interview, Mrs. Anamela has described the adoption of all male candidates in Chawama as disappointing, especially since the seat was previously held by a female member of parliament. She says it is regrettable that women are often overlooked in politics, a trend she says must end for inclusive governance. Mrs. Anamela has urged political parties to take deliberate steps to promote women's participation in elective politics, warning that failure to do so undermines gender equality and democracy.
I'm very, very disappointed, especially that we had a female MP there, and now we only have men prospective replacements. That is very, very disappointing, and for us it just underscores the fact that political parties still are not willing to adopt women, because some of them should have thought there was a woman here, so let's see if we can replace this MP with a woman.